things like that, you know, as Jim said. All the glory belongs to the Lord. As any of us look in the mirror, just think, why would God have any interest in me? And he does because of Jesus. You know, in each of us, he does. And the value that he places on each of us is just immense. So let's pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we look to this new section, Lord God, in our overall theme of the Apostles' Creed and I believe in the Holy Spirit, but Lord, also in this Path to Victory series, we pray that you, Holy Spirit, would just come and show us who you are. Speak to us through your word. As has been said, Lord, you know, in this day and age, we do not want to harden our hearts when we hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Please help us to be obedient. Sometimes, Lord, you're going to ask us to do things that we really do not want to do. But it is better to be obedient to you, because your ways are the very best ways. So please help us, Lord, and give us ears to hear this morning, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Rita brought me some photographs during the week to show of, this is me outside the Northern Bank 25 years ago doing sketchboards. It was scared of living daylight sort of when you see it, but you know, it's just amazing because you know, the years go by quickly, and it was, I suppose it was something that sparked off for me during the week about wanting to live a productive life, because life on earth is temporary, it's short. And I would like to be able to offer something to the Lord when he calls me home. And not that that's going to in any way gain favor with God, but it's saying, you know what, Lord, you gave me a life, and here's what I did with it. You gave me some talents, and here's what I did with them. And I hope that all of us realize that that's what the Lord wants us to do, live productive lives. Dave spoke last week about Jesus the man, and that's really, really important that we get this. It was Jesus the man, having completed his path to victory and ascending to and entering into heaven. And then his glorified humanity. Jesus has triumphed over sin. Now, we can at times feel like we're not triumphing over sin. And we can argue and say, well, if we're in Jesus, how come we haven't triumphed over sin? That's neither here nor there. The fact is, Jesus has triumphed over sin, Satan and death, and has sat down at God's right hand, having received all authority, glory and sovereign power. Now Jesus expects his followers, his people, the church, to be his witnesses and tell others what he has done. And we are to preach the gospel, or to tell forth the good news by how we live or by word of mouth. We're to tell forth the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection, and of forgiveness of sin and victory over sin, Satan and death, for all who repent and believe in him. And this is the journey that every believer is called to. It is the path to victory. It doesn't feel victorious at times. Sometimes it's like taking two steps forward and three steps back. Sometimes it feels like you're being dragged through wet blankets. Sometimes it's complete and utter drudgery. But nonetheless, we are promised it is the path to victory that we are on, which is, yes, fraught with difficulty, fraught with troubles, with sorrows and with sufferings, as we seek to live productive lives, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. However, Jesus knew the path to victory wouldn't be an easy one. And so he has kindly and graciously provided us with a helper. We have a helper against our enemies. A helper to enable us to press on toward our goal, to journey's end. Now, we're going to sing a song together this morning. Some of you are going to hate it, and some of you are going to love it. Personally, I can't stand it. But this is the song that came to me as I was preparing this talk. Thank you, Pete. All loud.
When you walk through the storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a love. Walk on through the wind, walk on
people who would probably have Liverpool scarves up, it should actually say Holy Spirit on the scarf instead of Liverpool. But this is again what God does. As I'm preparing talks, these mad songs come to my mind. But in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 18, Jesus says these words: "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as a helper, one who would come to help his people on their path to victory. He would empower Christians to be effective witnesses as we serve the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, our helper from Jesus, would come and abide with us forever. And as we get people about this, I'm a Christian today, I'm not tomorrow, you know, jumping and changing all the time. The Holy Spirit doesn't jump in and out of you like a jumping jenny. He comes to dwell with us forever. He is the Lord's promise that you will never walk alone. You will never be expected, because you never can walk the path to victory alone. But who is the Holy Spirit? Well, over the next number of weeks leading up to the day of Pentecost, we're going to be concentrating on the Holy Spirit, who he is what he does and how he does it. And I really want us to get to know him and to desire more of him. And I'm really encouraging people, not only when you're coming to the meetings here, but in your own quiet times and secret places, that you really begin now to start focusing on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does, and how he does it, so that you can desire him more or desire more of him. And who knows, maybe this week, next week, or as I said, on the anniversary of the day of Pentecost, we too might receive a fresh outpouring of his power into our lives. So who is the Holy Spirit? And now notice that I asked who. Who is the Holy Spirit? And not what is the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen the reaction from a parent who's just had a baby. And you go over to it and say, what's its name? You know, they look at you and they're really angry. You know, what do you call it? Does it have a name? The response is usually, he or she's not in it. It's Sammy or Sally or whatever else. And they really look at you with anger. How dare you call my child an it? See, people get all offended when we call their children it. What's its name? What is it? Is it a boy or a girl? And yet many Christians, mostly in ignorance, I have to admit, call the Holy Spirit an it, like he's some sort of impersonal force or power. The Holy Spirit isn't like what Obi-Wan Kenobi speaks about when he says to his friend Anakin Skywalker, goodbye, old friend, may the Force be with you. If you believe the Holy Spirit is nothing more than a force, then all I can say is may the farce be with you. Five times in this passage, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as him or he. He may abide with you. The world cannot receive or see him or know him, but you may know him, for he dwells in you and will be with you. So who is he? The Holy Spirit. Well, I want to briefly look at a few verses this morning, although there are hundreds of other verses confirming everything that I'm going to be saying. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. Right at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Whenever I read this, you know, it always reminds me of Ricky Elborn, a friend of mine who's gone to be with the Lord now. Ricky Elborn used to read these verses out, and he used to talk about the Holy Spirit hovering over the face the face of the waters. You get that image, you know, of the Holy Spirit with the hoover, hovering up the face of the waters. But he's hovering over the face of the waters. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit of God is eternal. He was before the beginning of creation. And in fact, he's here this morning in this gathering. Now turn to verse 26 and 27 of Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, so we had in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Genesis, then God said, let us make man in our image. So here we have God in the beginning. God created the heavens, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. The Holy Spirit of God is eternal. He was before the beginning of creation. He is here today. In fact, the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 9, verse 14, Jesus offered himself to God through the eternal Spirit. He was involved in creation, and he is one person of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Now, if you have any doubts, turn, if you can, please, to Acts chapter 5. And we'll just look at another example. There are hundreds of verses that can confirm what I'm saying this morning. I've just picked a couple out here from a curiosity point of view. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. What has been happening here? The early believers had been selling up all of their possessions and putting all of the money into a central pot to help the church, because it was the church in Jerusalem was extremely poor, and they were helping one another, supporting one another. And a man called Ananias and his wife Sapphira owned a field. It was their property. And what they thought was, well, look, let's sell this because everybody else is doing it, but we'll keep a wee bit to the side and we'll just come in and give this amount into the central pot, and we'll tell them that's all we got. Now, I mean, they didn't even have to sell their field. But they chose to sell their field, keep a wee bit on the fly, and put in. They could have just said not putting anything in, but they lied. Anyway, in verse 3 and 4, Peter is aware of this. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So here he is saying here, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. You have not lied to men, but to God. So he's saying to us, the Holy Spirit is God. Turn now to 1 John chapter 5, and these are the last couple of verses that I'm going to read. 1 John chapter 5. Okay. Reading verses 6 and 7. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, that's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. There are three witnesses in heaven: the Father, the Word, which we know is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. The Holy Spirit is God the Spirit. Equally God with the Father and the Son. He's not a Klingon. He's not a wee add-on or a tag-on that we apply to our Christian life, like some people tag on in Jesus' name at the end of a prayer in the hope it's going to be answered. We can't treat the Holy Spirit like this. Now, if indeed he's equally God, one person of the Godhead, and he's not an impersonal force or power, then that means he is worthy of our worship, adoration, love, and obedience. Do you understand? If we can give our love and our worship and our adoration and our praise to Jesus, if we can give our love and our worship and our adoration and our praise to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is equally God with the Father, with the Son, then he too is equally worthy of all of our praise and worship and adoration and obedience. And listen, he has many names in the Bible and many titles, but he is never an it. Among other names, he is called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Comforter, the Counselor, the Guide, the Teacher, the Advocate, the Spirit of God, the Finger of God. The Holy Spirit is not an Obi-Wan Kenobi force or power that we need to take a hold of and use to make us more effective servants of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this again because this is really important. The Holy Spirit is not a force or a power that we need to take hold of to make us more effective servants of Jesus Christ. A lot of the church gets this wrong. They think, if I could just get more of the Holy Spirit, if I could get a hold of Him, I would be far more powerful, far more effective. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit takes a hold of us. So let's say this again. The Holy Spirit is not a force or a power that we need to take hold of and use to make us more effective servants of Jesus Christ. No, rather, He is a person of the Godhead. And He takes a hold of us and empowers us and helps us to be used in service to Jesus for the glory of God. He's sent by Jesus to abide in us, to dwell with us forever, and to be our helper. We do not take a hold of Him. He takes a hold of us. He is equally God with Jesus and the Father. As R.A. Torrey, the evangelist, points out, He has a personality. He is knowledgeable. He loves, He speaks, He prays, He feels, He testifies, He leads, He directs, He comforts, He purposes, He wills, and He grieves. Does He really sound like an it? The Holy Spirit is God with the Father and the Son. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is existing forever. He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere at the same time. He is omnipotent. He is almighty, all-powerful. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing and all-wise. And He is our helper, the one whom Jesus sent to us to live in us, and He wants to take a hold of us and use us. I'm going to emphasize this. He is our helper, meaning the believer's helper. He draws alongside to help us, even though He dwells within us. And Jesus is right, strangely enough. The unbelieving world cannot see Him. They cannot receive Him because they are dead to Him. In fact, the unbeliever desperately, desperately needs the Holy Spirit to quicken them to spiritual life, or they'll die in their sins and go to hell. But not so us who believed in Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit made us alive again in Christ, we've been born again by the Holy Spirit who abides in us forever. He is the one who has come to help us on our path to victory. And He deserves our praise, worship, adoration, and obedience. Because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper and dwell with us forever, of course we can encourage one another in word or in song. You'll never walk alone. See, when you're going through your troubles, you'll never walk alone. See, when you're at the heights of praise and worship and on the mountaintops praising the Lord and worshiping, you've got few and far between in my life, but when you're up at that point of absolute bliss, you'll never walk alone. See, when you're in the lowest possible depths where you think that the very earth is going to open up and swallow you, or you wish to hell that it would, you will never walk alone. Because the Holy Spirit has been sent by Jesus to dwell within us forever and to be our helper. Which is what the song said. Through the storms of life, we can hold our head up high. And we don't need to be afraid of the dark night of the soul, as it's called. We don't need to be afraid of the dark, dark days that may come upon us. Though our dreams be tossed and blown, we can walk with hope in our hearts, because we know we will never walk alone. We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, our helper against the enemy, dwelling with us to help us forever.
Hallelujah.
See, as we continue our Path to Victory series, let's remember to really seek more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. More understanding of Him and of His ways. And let's seek Him to help us to be effective servants, witnesses for Jesus. But remember, we don't seek to get a hold of Him. The Holy Spirit isn't somebody that you can put into your back pocket or inside your coat or in your handbag that you can bring out when you need a wee bit of help. That's not what an accessory. That's not what the Holy Spirit is there to do. He's not there that we can just pick Him up when we need Him, or like a magic wand, use Him to wish away all our problems. We don't seek to get a hold of Him to use Him. We want Him to take a fresh hold of us and use us for the glory of God, even in our troubles. Letting Him take a hold of us in our difficulties and letting Him use it to the glory of God. And it's my hope and prayer over these next weeks that we'll all call upon the name of the Lord to powerfully touch our lives again with a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Look, if this is what you want, then as we begin this series over these number of weeks, please purpose in your heart right now, even quietly, purpose in your heart today to say to the Holy Spirit, I want you to come and take a fresh hold of me and use me for the glory of God. You know, maybe there's an unbeliever this morning. Well, you need to understand, whether you're here or you're listening to the podcast, you're not yet a Christian. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. Let's be absolutely clear. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. It is impossible to be saved without the Holy Spirit. He alone can bring you to the place where you realize that you need to be saved. If He does not do this, then you will die in your sin and you will never enter heaven. And I can only urge people this morning, therefore, to call upon the name of the Lord, that in His mercy He might send His Spirit to touch your life and bring you to new birth in Jesus Christ. We have a helper sent by Jesus. He is the Holy Spirit God, eternal, omnipresent everywhere at the same time, omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. He knows where you're at. He knows what's happening in your life, and He has been sent by Jesus to be your helper. And if you're a Christian, He dwells within you forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You this morning for the wonderful, wonderful news of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, coming to dwell within the hearts of the believer. Thank You that all of this was possible because of Jesus, who said, look, I'm going away, but it is good that I go, because I will send another helper. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You have come to dwell in the hearts of every believer in Jesus. And we thank You that You continually come to fill us with Your power, but not that we take a hold of You, but that You, Lord God, take a hold of us. Amen. And You use us for the glory of God. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, I would ask you, please, in the name of Jesus, who has entered into the throne room of Almighty God and is seated at God's right hand, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would come again today upon every believer in this place. Yes. And upon every believer who is listening to the podcast, and that you would take a fresh hold of every one of us and fill us with your power, that we could walk the path to victory and be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ to the glory of God Almighty. We ask Almighty God that for those who do not know Jesus, that you would graciously and mercifully come to them and reveal to them their need to be saved and give them the faith to believe in Jesus, that they too might be born again of the Spirit of the living God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.